The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. It was late Friday afternoon, that Friday when Jesus was crucified. And Rachel, do you know Rachel? No? Yes? Well, she didn't get her name in the gospel. But Rachel was Joseph of Arimathea's wife, and he was on the temple council. And she was worried because it's almost going to be sunset and the Sabbath will start. And it wasn't an ordinary Sabbath, but it was a Sabbath of the Passover. And Joseph is not home yet. He would never miss the Sabbath, especially this one. She was even more worried because they heard that they crucified Jesus. And there were rumors that his disciples were going to start a revolution and attack the Romans. She was worried because she knew that her husband sometimes did not keep his mouth shut. And he'll say things that will get him in trouble. And she knew that he kind of liked the rabbi from Nazareth. So going from window to window, looking out to see where's Joseph, and suddenly as the last sliver of the sun was going down behind the horizon, here comes Joseph running through the door, his hair disheveled, his face and his clothes dirty and out of breath. And Rachel goes, "Joseph, where you been?" He goes, "Wait a second, woman, get me some water. Let me catch my breath. I'll tell you everything." So she went, got him some water. He sat down. They sat down. After he kind of relaxed, he said, "Well, you heard that they crucified the rabbi this afternoon." She said, "Yes, that's why I was worried." She goes, "Well, around 3 o'clock, he died. So the soldiers brought him down and put him in his mother's arms. And I was there looking at her and wondering what she's going to do. So I went to Pilate." "You went to Pilate? Why did you go to Pilate?" "Well, I went to Pilate to ask him for the body of Jesus because, as you know, they're from out of town and she didn't make plans to, you know, that her son going to die and bury him. Where do you think she was going to bury him?" "And what did Pilate say?" she said. "Well, he gave me permission to bury him." "You buried Jesus? Joseph, where did you bury him?" "Well, in our family plot. Our family plot, the one that we saved money all our lives so we can have a place to rest in eternity. You buried a stranger, Joseph? You want me to lie next to a stranger all eternity, Joseph?" And Joseph said, woman, relax. He'll be gone by Sunday." We're here today because Jesus was gone by Sunday. The tomb was empty. But just because we have an empty tomb, that doesn't mean that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, I think it's kind of strange that the church on this, the holiest day of the whole church year, when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, Jesus doesn't even appear in the gospel. He doesn't say any words. So why do we believe that he truly rose from the dead? Let me tell you why I believe. Yes, the empty tomb is not a proof that Jesus rose from the dead. And God meant it to be that way because he wants us to have faith. Have faith in what? In his words, because Jesus told his disciples, I will suffer, die, and rise in 3 days. God wants us to trust in his words even when it seems so hopeless. Jesus died, you know, where is God? How is he going to come and help him? It's all about trust. Do we trust the word of God? Because if Jesus did not rise from the tomb, Christianity doesn't make any sense. He's just another man. Maybe he was a good healer, a good rabbi. He spoke well. He worked a few miracles. By what should we care about it or listen to him? That happened 2,000 years ago. If Jesus did not rise from the dead and promise, just like he said, I will die and rise, that we, if we believe in him, we too will rise from the dead to eternal life, then we shouldn't be Christians. We're wasting our time. Without this promise and our trust in those words, it doesn't make sense for us to follow Jesus. Reason number two. Let's say the disciples made all this up, okay? They were such a clever group of people that they connived this whole plan. What did it get them? Did they get rich? Did people start throwing money at them? Did they move to Rome and lived in a palace because they were proclaiming Jesus is Lord, he's risen from the dead? No, what happened to them, they were thrown in jail. They were thrown to the lions. They were crucified. They were burned alive. And not just the apostles, for 300 years, all those who believed that Jesus truly died and rose from the dead were treated in that same way by the Romans. I mean, how far would you take a lie when it's costing you your life? They did believe because they saw the risen Christ. You and I have not seen the empty tomb or the risen Christ, but we have faith in their words because they paid with their lives for the words that they proclaimed. Reason number three. Let's forget even about the disciples and the early Christians. You know, maybe they were just simple people. But throughout the history of the, from that time until today, what about people like St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Teresa of Avila, Mother Teresa, women and men who, because they believed, they were able to do great things and make great sacrifices. Maybe not their lives, but left them behind, lives of sometimes riches, sometimes lives of, you know, easy life. Some of them leave their countries and came to worlds they never been there and proclaimed the good news. Some of them built hospitals to care the sick, built orphanages, built schools. All these men and women, are they all crazy? Why did they do it? How could just one person who had such faith be able to do these great things and build whole communities that other women and men followed them and continued their work? My friends, the proof is in the pudding. Not because somebody says Jesus rose from the dead. Look around you. Look what out around you, but what Christians did because their belief, because they not just believed Jesus rose from the dead, they believed in his message that love is stronger than death, that love will conquer even death. So they were willing to sacrifice, to take chances, to believe that they can do beyond what their capabilities will allow them, because they knew that the risen Lord is with them. And they listened to whatever he called them to do. Isn't that amazing? And finally, I believe that Jesus is alive and risen because he's in my life. He guides me in my life when I was looking for direction. He came to me and opened a door for me. I said, look, Albert, I want you to do this. When I was down in despair, he came and comforted me. When I needed help, he gave me courage. I believe because I know it's my experience that Jesus has risen because he is present in my life. Is he present in your life? Is that why you believe he rose from the dead? That's the question that we're faced with today. The women saw the empty tomb. They went and told Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, but they did not understand. But the disciple whom Jesus loved understood, because he loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. All of this is about love, my brothers and sisters. To love as Jesus taught us what true love is. To love as God the Father loves us. And that no matter what sacrifices that love will cost us, because you know true love does mean sacrifice, God will always bring us to a new life, to a new beginning, where we will be a new creation. That's the hope of Easter, that no matter what we do, if we turn to God, God will give us a new life, a new beginning. He'll forgive us our sins and welcome us back to be better people, to be people of greater love, greater compassion, greater generosity, greater kindness. But you say, Father, well, look around the world. Why is this so evil if God is so loving and Jesus rose from the dead? Yes, there's people today who are sheltering from bombs dropped on them. There's people today who are afraid sitting in shelters. There's people today who've lost all their homes because they've become refugees. There is people living on the streets of our cities. There's children dying from hunger. But it's not because Jesus is not risen. It's because we haven't lived the message of Jesus. We haven't followed Jesus on the way of love because we are afraid. We are afraid to tell our story. The woman told the story. The disciples told the story. Their disciples told the story for 2,000 years. There's still some Christians who are telling the story that Jesus is risen, he's alive, because he works in my life. That's what we need to do if you don't want to see any more war, if you want to solve the problem of hunger and homelessness. We need to live as people of love and put the love of God and the love of our neighbor ahead of our love for ourselves. We need to love more, not love less, and doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. It takes faith, but we have good reason to believe. It's not blind faith that God calls us to. It's faith steeped in reason.